Well, our second reading today in our gospel really don't make a whole lot of sense. So let's stand to pray. No, but it just reminds us of God's avowal through the prophet Isaiah. As the heavens are high above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. You see, God has a logic of his own, a divine logic that sets our logic on its head. And we would do well to always humbly keep that in mind. And as we shall see, we have a lot to be thankful for that God's thoughts and ways are not ours. Now, in the gospel today, we have a very strange encounter, and it's odd that it should have happened at all to begin with, because the woman was a non-Jew, a pagan, who for some reason turned her back on her familiar world and heads in the direction of Jewish terrain. On the other hand, Jesus, an observant Jew, heads towards the district of Tyre and Sidon, that is, the land of Canaan, which evokes everything that is contrary to Jewish faith and traditions. A district that is unclean, in other words. And Jesus says in this episode to his disciples, I have been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So then why the heck is Jesus withdrawing from the land of Israel to go into pagan territory to begin with? So there's something more to Jesus' off-putting behavior than meets our eyes. You see, I think that many times when we hear this gospel, we are distracted and preoccupied with what Jesus does and says or doesn't say. But I think that we're supposed to be focused on the woman in this gospel. So here's this desperate woman. She comes to Jesus, she meets him, and she makes her request, and she is met with silence. God's silence as sole reply to impassioned prayer is perhaps the most mysterious and trying aspect of the life of faith. But we should recall that everything that happens in the story, Jesus already spoke about in a parable that he taught. Let's listen to that. He says, suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. For a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him. And he says in reply from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything. I tell you, if he does not get up to give him the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. So, Jesus, in this episode, when he speaks about the people of Israel, he uses terms of endearment. In one place, he calls them sheep. Another place he calls them children. But the pagan woman and her afflicted daughter are called dogs. Jesus says, it is not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But then the woman gives this remarkable answer and changes a grim metaphor of rejection into a resplendent parable of mercy. Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Ding, ding, ding. Right answer. After all of her pleading and nagging and in-your-face demands of Jesus, she gives the right answer and her desire is granted. Let us remember that this woman is not a daughter of the promise. She is not a member of the chosen race. She has no standing whatever to demand anything of the God of Israel. But the faith that pleases Jesus so much is that she cast herself doggedly on God's sheer mercy, recognizing her unworthiness. Fast forward 25 years to our second reading, where Paul is writing to the Church of Rome. Now, because of the rejection of the gospel message by many of the Jews, Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, that is, pagans like the Canaanite woman, has gone to the dogs, so to speak. Now, we Gentiles, most of us who are Gentiles here, we are not children of the promise. We are not members of the chosen race. We had no standing whatever to demand anything of the God of Israel, and yet we have been shown mercy. And the chosen people, the Jews, even though many of them have rejected the gospel message, Paul says, because of God's gifts to them and because his call of them is irrevocable, and because of the mercy shown to us dogs, they may also receive mercy. Because, as Paul concludes, God delights in showing mercy. You see, church, none of us are worthy. None of us are worthy. Although we probably have great images of ourselves as being so good. But none of us are worthy. And think about the prayer that we say before we come up to receive the crumbs of the Eucharistic bread that fall from our Master's table. What do we say? Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. Do you recognize that? That is the prayer of the Canaanite woman for her daughter. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. I am not worthy. I depend on your mercy. I hope that when we say that prayer, that we are sincere in saying it. Do you know there's the story about this guy who died, and he gets up there to the pearly gates, and Peter is there with a clipboard, okay? And St. Peter says, okay, he said, this is how it works. You know, we have a point system up here. And it takes 100 points to get through the pearly gates. So the way it works is that you just tell me about yourself and I'll give you points from what you say. Well, the guy, you know, kind of puts out his chest because he knows he's a real good guy, you know. He says, okay, he said, this is going to be a cinch. He said, okay, well, I was a faithful Catholic all my life. I never missed Mass on Sundays. Many times I went to daily Mass. I was a Eucharistic minister, and I was even on the parish council once. St. Peter says, that's awesome. That's really great. He says, okay, let's see. Okay, you got 5 points for that. The guy says, 5 points? So he starts to loosen his tie a little bit. He's getting a little bit nervous. And he said, okay, he said, I also helped with Pachim in my parish when we gave hospitality to homeless people. And I did their laundry, and I helped out almost every night, and I spent the night with them sometimes. I hung out with them. I prepared food for them. And I also tithed. You know, I gave generously of my money to the poor and to the church. And Peter says, wonderful. You should have done all those things. That's great. Let me see. Okay, that got you another 5 points. Now the guy's starting to sweat. He's only got 10 points. He needs 100 to get into heaven. He's really thinking hard now. He's sweating. And he says, okay, he said, I love my wife. You know, I've been faithful in my marriage throughout my entire marriage. Even when times were hard, I just made that choice to love her, to be faithful to our marriage covenant. I was a devoted father. I taught my children about Jesus and his love. And St. Peter says, wonderful, that's great. Let's see. Yeah, that's another 5 points. Now the guy is just, he's not at all like he was when he came up there. He starts to weep. His tears come to his eyes, and he hangs his head and he says, I've got nothing left. All I have is God's mercy. And St. Peter says, there you go, 85 points, you're in.